A very good morning to those of you listening from home, from us at Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. We invite you to join us in our morning service for Sunday the 1st of November, led by Mr Nigel MacDonald, an elder at St Andrew's. During this service we will celebrate Holy Communion, and you may wish to have bread and wine or juice prepared before you start listening.
Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures for ever. Praise the Lord. Our first hymn was written by Charles Wesley to celebrate his gratitude for the strengthening of his faith. And if you look up the story of how it came to be written, I think you will be moved by it. Let us think about those words as we hear or sing them together. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Oh,
Let us pray together. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears, our despair, and lay them at your feet. You have given us a world of beauty, and we have spoiled it. A world to feed us, and so many go hungry. A world of riches, and we're unwilling to share. A world to care for, and we think only of ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, for those times your heart is saddened by our selfishness. For those times we have no thought for others, no cares but our own. Enable us to see this world anew as a gift from you, to be shared and nurtured, and those who live upon it to be loved and cared for. We ask this that your name may be glorified through the beauty of this world and the service of our lives. Amen. By your grace, we are forgiven. In your peace, our lives are lived. By your touch, we know healing. In your strength, are we made whole. When your grace is forgotten by our focus on self and your face obscured, forgive and restore. Take our mustard seed of faith, we pray, and bless it, and help it grow, take root and blossom in our hearts and lives. We ask these prayers through our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer in its more modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
My daughter has just started at university. When she was at school and college, her favourite subjects were musical theatre and history. So it came as a bit of a surprise when she sat me down one day several months ago and said to me, "Dad, I'm going to do a degree in law." She's only been doing the course for a few weeks, but the other surprise is that her favourite topic so far is something called contract law. It's a surprise because contract law is often regarded as being, how do I put this politely, rather boring. Anyway, she was telling me that a contract is really a very simple thing. It's an agreement between two parties. When I say two parties, a party can be a person or a company or perhaps even a country. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're hanging out with a friend and you have a massive bag of sweets. Your friend might say to you, "How about we share that bag of sweets? And when we next meet up, I'll bring a big bag of sweets and I'll share my bag of sweets with you." If you agree to do that, the two of you have basically entered into a contract. Now, of course, the thing with the sweets isn't really a legal contract. So let me give you an example of an actual legal contract. Imagine you're travelling somewhere and when you arrive at the airport, you want to hire a car to continue your journey. The car hire company promises to provide you with a car that's in good condition that you can borrow for the amount of time that you need it. and you promise to look after the car and bring it back neat and tidy when you're finished with it. Those two promises put together in writing form a contract. Another rather different form of contract is a marriage. One of the people getting married promises to love and take care of the other person, and the other person makes the same promises in return. Put those two promises together and you have a marriage contract. The Old Testament part of the Bible is all about a very special contract, a contract between God and the people of Israel. This contract is usually known by a slightly different word, the word covenant. Remember, a contract or a covenant is simply two parties making promises to each other. In this case, the people of Israel promised to be loyal and to follow God's commands. In return, God promised to stick by the people of Israel and protect them in difficult times. The problem, of course, is that human beings aren't always very good at keeping their promises. So going back to my earlier examples, your friend might never get around to bringing that big bag of sweets that they promised. Or the person hiring the car might bring it back after they've finished using it, all messy and with scratches down the side. Certainly, the people of Israel often failed to live up to their promises. They often went around doing their own thing, forgetting their promises to God. So God decided that there was a better way. He sent Jesus directly into the world so that everyone, not just the people of Israel, could know him and have a relationship with him. From that point on, our dealings with God have not been based on the law, but on love. I'm hoping that however much my daughter learns about the law over the next 3 years of her degree course, she remembers every day that God loves her just as he loves each one of us.
Our second hymn was written by Philip Doddridge in 1735, and he was inspired to write it by the words in Isaiah chapter 61 about the Holy Spirit coming to preach good news, to bind up those who are broken, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to comfort those who mourn, which Jesus quoted when he spoke in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth and said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So let us sing or hear together, "Hark the Glad Sound."
The reading is taken from Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 to 17 of the Good News Bible. The Lord said to Joshua, What I do today will make all the people of Israel begin to honour you as a great man, and they will realise that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests carrying the covenant box that when they reach the river, they must wade in and stand near the bank. Then Joshua said to the people, "Come here and listen to what the Lord your God has to say. As you advance, he will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. You will know that the living God is among you when the covenant box of the Lord of all the earth crosses the Jordan ahead of you. Now choose 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel. When the priests who carry the covenant box of the Lord of all the earth put their feet in the water, the Jordan will stop flowing, and the water coming downstream will pile up in one place." It was harvest time, and the river was in flood. When the people left the camp to cross the Jordan, the priests went ahead of them carrying the covenant box. As soon as the priests stepped into the water, it stopped flowing and piled up, far upstream at Adam, the city beside Zarethan. The flow downstream to the Dead Sea was completely cut off, and the people were able to cross over near Jericho. While the people walked across on dry ground, the priests carrying the Lord's covenant box stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until all the people had crossed over. Thanks be to God for his word.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels of their prayer shawls long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called Teacher, for you have one Teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
The New Covenant. A word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you will open all our hearts to you, and that you will take the words that I now offer and guide our hearing and our understanding, that we may truly know your presence and your will for each one of us. Over a number of recent weeks, those of us who enjoy being part of these online services have been reminded, thanks to Craig's practice of following the disciplines of the lectionary, about Moses and the way God protected and guided him from his birth to the leadership of the people of Israel out of Egypt, to their escape at the Red Sea from the Egyptians who followed them, to the time when they had no water and God made a rock provide for their needs, and the time when they had no food and God sent manna and quails to feed them. And last week we heard about Moses' last climb up to Mount Nebo above Jericho, where he was shown the promised land before he died. The Bible tells us that during the Israelites' time in the wilderness, God instructed Moses to have the Ark of the Covenant made, and gave precise instructions about its size and the way it was to be constructed and carried. Into the ark were placed the stone tablets that Moses had brought down the mountain, showing the Ten Commandments. The ark was a sacred sign of the covenant that God had made with his people. This week, we've heard of Joshua taking over leadership of the people of Israel and doing as God had instructed by telling them to advance across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. We heard how the fast-flowing River Jordan was suddenly stopped by God, so that the riverbed under it was revealed, and how the Ark of the Covenant was carried reverently into the middle of the riverbed and was held there, and the whole of the tribes of Israel passed it and went on across to the Promised Land. Then, after 12 stones had been laid to mark the passing over of the 12 tribes, the Ark itself was carried over the rest of the way, and the Bible later tells us that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. As we come to communion this morning, may I ask that we give some thought to the significance of this event and to the significance of Holy Communion in relation to it. A covenant, like a contract, is between two people or groups of people. The covenant that the Ark signified was of God's promise to be with his people and to bless them. And the other side of that covenant was the undertaking by the people to obey God's law. It was a wonderful, amazing promise by God. But as you will remember, the people of Israel subsequently lost sight of or forgot their side of the agreement. Do you remember how some considerable time later, King Josiah found the book of the law stored away somewhere in the temple and was aghast when it was read out at how the people of Israel had failed to keep their side of the covenant? I've just said that this covenant was of God's promise to be with his people and to bless them, so long as the people obeyed God's law. When they did, they were indeed blessed. But the Old Testament tells us clearly that all too often they did not, and that the nations of Israel and Judah got into deeper and deeper trouble. God inspired prophets to warn the people and to try to bring them back into wholehearted obedience to his law. Occasionally, they listened, but mostly they ignored them, and further disasters kept happening. If we see our society showing signs of disorder and distress, we might ask ourselves if our societies honour obedience to God's law. And you know the answer. Because it's so easy to criticise others, we should also ask ourselves if we honour obedience to God's law in the way we live each part of our lives. If there's any part of our lives where that is not true, we have the opportunity this morning in the communion service to bring it before God, to ask for forgiveness and help in getting our lives totally aligned to his will. You will also remember that the Old Testament tells us that after a time, God did not send any more prophets because they were not being listened to. The last prophet in the Old Testament is Malachi, and scholars tell us that his book was completed about 400 BC. So, there had been no prophets in Israel or Judah for 400 years before Christ was born. That covenant was a wonderful promise. But it did not speak to a direct relationship with God. Rather, it spoke to God being with them and to him blessing them if they kept his laws. One of the later prophets was Jeremiah, and he saw clearly that the people of Israel kept on breaking their side of the covenant. He was also instructed by God to promise something quite different. He therefore wrote, and I quote from chapter 31 of his book, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." It was at the Last Supper that Jesus then honoured that promise of the new covenant. And that's what we're about to celebrate in Holy Communion together. Let us recall the words of St. Luke. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That's in chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel. With the new covenant comes the promise of a personal relationship with God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, repeated in Hebrews and also in Revelation. This is quite different from simply following rules or laws laid down by God at a point in time and then being blessed. Those rules or laws are good, but not in the same league as a living relationship with God, in which His will can be revealed to us. People during the time of the Old Covenant could memorize the law of God, and many did. But this in itself didn't come with a promise of power to obey what the law commanded. If you think about what our second lesson this morning meant, it was exactly that. Jesus was warning against trying to follow the example set by the Pharisees, or to set ourselves up as guides, when our focus should be on our Father God Himself. For we have, in Jesus' own words, one instructor, the Messiah. Notice also Jeremiah's confident prophecy that each would no longer teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." When Jeremiah wrote about God Himself, writing the law on our hearts, he means that our obedience will flow from a transformation that has occurred within us by virtue of a power that God has Himself provided through that living relationship in which God Himself is our only guide. There's rather a nice short poem which sets that out clearly. To run and work the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings, it bids me fly and gives me wings. The new covenant came at the moment Jesus died and gave his life and blood for us. It is why at exactly that moment, the curtain in the temple, which had historically symbolized the separation of people from the holy presence of God, was torn apart. For from that moment, God was willing to enter into a direct relationship with each one of his people. Let us come to Holy Communion, aware therefore of just how special it is, as we celebrate the privilege of that new covenant made possible through the sacrifice of our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgiving and our petitions on behalf of the Church and the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together today, both in our church building as well as online, at the beginning of this fresh month, we thank you for all that it means. This year has been strange, long, hard, and difficult. Many of us have experienced thoughts, feelings, and situations that we previously could never have imagined. As everything around us has changed, We thank you that you remain the same. We bring before you all believers, those who have struggles, those who face persecution and fear, not knowing where the next meal will come from, or indeed, whether they will survive to see another day. We know that your light has overcome all, and we ask that you may break this darkness, bring life to situations where hope may have gone. We pray for safety and protection, and we know that all of those who call upon your name will be heard. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we pray that your church will be faithful to the teachings of Christ so that it reflects his kindness and likeness. Lord, we bring before you the leaders of the church as they seek to serve you in this community, stepping out in faith to answer the call you have placed upon them. You know the needs of each and every one of them, and we ask that you provide what they need to help them to flourish as they teach and proclaim your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice, we give you thanks for the efforts that have been made around this country to feed children and families who are struggling. We thank you that holiday hunger is now something that people are talking about. It is no longer hidden in the way it once was. We thank you that here at St. Andrews, you have continued to provide for us. God of mercy, we know that the issue runs deeper and needs a bigger fix than simply providing food where it is needed. As so many seek to feed those in need, we lift before you the government, the influencers, the decision makers. Help them to look closer to address the issues causing child poverty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As our world continues to be gripped by the coronavirus pandemic, be with each of us, Lord. Help us to make decisions that will be good for all. We pray and hope for a time when this virus will no longer have the hold over the world that it does now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all times, we thank you for all those who have gone before us, those whose footprint we continue to tread. We thank you for their witness, the lessons they have left for us, and how we can continue to learn from them. Lord, we ask that you help us live our lives only for your glory. We ask that when people look, they see more of you and less of us. Help us, Lord, to be all you created us to be. Show us the gifts you have given. Help us to acknowledge and encourage gifts we see in each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we all have people, situations, and things you have placed on our hearts. We give them to you now. Lord, as we sit in this moment of silence, we invite you to speak, and as your servants, we will listen. We ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's remind ourselves of the Last Supper Jesus ate with his disciples, the supper which we remember today. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends, and they long remembered his words at the table. Though some disapproved of the company he kept, Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people, and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us, whoever we are and whatever we bring, and he will feed us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. The Gospel writer Mark tells us what happened that night. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are the friends and disciples of Jesus today. He invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. Let's listen together to our communion hymn, "Behold the Lamb Who Bears Our Sins Away."
Sacrifice as a son. So with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share
Let us pray. We bring this bread and this wine to the table of Jesus. With them we bring ourselves, all that we are and all that we own. May the ordinary become holy, and heaven be opened to the people of earth. May God be blessed for ever. We give thanks and praise to God. Loving God, the world you made is beautiful and full of wonder. You made us with all your creatures, and you love all that you have made. You gave us the words of your prophets, the stories of your people through the generations, and the gathered wisdom of many years. You gave us Jesus, your Son, to be born and to grow up in difficult times when there was little peace. He embraced people with your love and told stories to change us all. He healed those in pain and brought to life those who had lost hope. He made friends with anyone who would listen and loved even his enemies. For these things he suffered. For these things he died. And he was raised from death and lives with you forever. You give us your Holy Spirit to teach and to strengthen us, to remind us of Jesus Christ, and to make us one in him. For all these gifts we thank you, and we join with all your people on earth and in heaven in joyful praise. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. We praise you that we are here today around the table of Jesus. We have heard the good news of your love. The cross is the sign of your arms stretched out in love for us, and the empty tomb declares your love stronger than death. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, and upon your people, that Christ may be with us, and we may be made ready to live for you and to do what you ask of us today and in every day to come. We make this prayer through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Creator, one God, to whom be glory and praise forever. Amen. And now, to those present in our churches and those listening from home, I invite you to eat this bread. It is the bread of life. And again, I invite you to drink this wine. It is the cup of blessing. Let us pray. Loving God, You have fed us generously at this table as we have remembered Jesus and rejoiced that he is with us today. Thanks be to God for these gifts beyond words. We are ready now to follow him and to be your people in the world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way, make us holy, and fill us with love. Amen. Our final hymn is To God Be the Glory.
Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and for the gracious privilege you allow us through your new covenant of knowing you and being heirs of your eternal kingdom. We ask you, Lord, to send us out strengthened by our experience of your presence, to do the work you've given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. And so to him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and for ever. Amen. Amen.